The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Hey, Brother Freidenstein, appreciate that very much. Take your Bible and go back, and let's just look at one verse. I'm going to bring the other verses into play, but very interesting, as I noted it just a moment ago as we read Scripture together. The Bible says here in the book of Acts, chapter 27 and verse 32, the Bible says, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat. Watch what it says, and let her fall off. All right, now what is it so significant about cutting the ropes so the boat would fall off? Well, I do know this. I do know that the Apostle Paul was now being sent from that which is King Agrippa's presence over to Caesar's presence in order to be judged. We know that the religious crowd had raised up in a great roar. We understand now this ship, if you would please, has set sail. They set sail when the winds were contrary. It was a time for dangerous sailing. Matter of fact, Paul, I believe, did warn them, but yet they did not take the warning. The Bible says that they fell into tempestuous winds in Acts chapter 27 and verse 14. The Bible says that the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind in verse 15. The Bible says that much work had come to that ship. In other words, the winds had begun to break down the ship. The ship was now being destroyed in verse 16. To complicate the matters, they're now getting close to an island where there's quicksand. To complicate the matters, these men are becoming very discouraged. So much you see in verse 18 where they lightened the ship. They thought by lightening the ship, of course, they would not fall into dire straits and sink in the quicksand and all perish. The Bible says that the storm was so brutal that they could not see the sun nor the stars. And the Bible says in verse 20 that they couldn't see them for many days. That's a harsh type of storm. The Bible says that they were about to give up. And here all of a sudden Paul stands up in the midst of them in verse 22. And he says, now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of a man's life among you, but of the ship. And so can you imagine? And these guys were experts. These guys knew how to sail. No doubt they have come across such storms before, but yet this is a storm, and now a man of God stands up and he says, hey, look, be of good cheer. It's going to be okay. Now, by the way, we always thank God for those that stand up in the midst of storms and that try to calm at least that which is a frustration, that which is maybe some fears that we have in our own lives. Thank God for men of faith that stand up and that say, hey, look, it's okay. We're going to make it through. We made it through before. We can make it through again. And by the way, don't you ever forget that God is the one that calms the storms. Now, Paul knew that. Paul knew that God was in control. Paul knew that God is the one that could certainly calm the storms. But here's what happens. They begin to sound the alarm again. Now they're getting closer and they're getting closer to that which is an island that just may very well tear that ship apart as they fall upon the rocks in verse 29. And so now all of a sudden you see these shipmen, they begin to think, we got to get out of the ship. I mean, we just got to jump. I mean, we've got to decide that we're going to leave the ship. And that's when Paul stands up and Paul says this. Paul says, now you need to stay with me in the ship. He said, and if you stay in the ship, though the ship might be lost, he said, no man's life will be lost. And he did something strange. You know, Paul never told them to cut the boats loose, never one time. But they went over, and maybe they were afraid that maybe some would not obey, and so they took it upon themselves to cut the ropes and to let the boats, I'm talking about the safety boats, if you will, the escape boats, if you will, the boats whereby, by the way, later on, God did break up that ship. You remember that? If you'll turn over to the book of Acts and you'll look at it, here's what took place. Acts chapter 27, and if you'll look down in verse, the last verse there in that particular chapter, that the Bible talks about how they came in, and they came in on boards and broken pieces of the ship. Well, I wonder if they would have kept those boats intact. I wonder if maybe somebody would have not have cut those ropes. It would have sure been a whole lot easier to come in on a boat than it would have been on broken pieces. It would have been a whole lot easier to come in on a boat than it would be on broken boards. Maybe these guys got just a little bit anxious and said, well, you know what? If we're going to die, we're going to die together. I mean, if we're going to go down, let's all go down together. I mean, one for all and all for one. Here we come, Lord, for those that were saved. Yeah, I don't really know. But I do know this. I know that they cut the ropes. Now, I want to speak to you tonight on don't cut the ropes. Don't cut the ropes. Let me show you some areas in your life and in my life where we ought to decide that we do not cut the ropes. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 6. Look down, if you will, please, in verse 1 and following. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says this. He says, my son, he says, hear, it says, the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Let me tell you some ropes tonight that you ought to decide not to cut. You ought to decide not to cut the rope of authority. God gives us authorities in our lives. For that which is the child, as we read just a moment ago, the authority is mom and dad. You say mom and dad doesn't know everything, but they know more than you. Well, mom and dad doesn't possess all wisdom, but they've got more wisdom than you. Well, mom and dad, they don't have all the experience, but if they've lived longer than you, and they have because you are theirs, they've got more experience than you have. Can I say tonight, we better be very careful not to cut the rope of authority. You know, Hudson Taylor, great missionary, of course, as you read about him being a great missionary there to China. When he went to China, they said that there was less than 100 believers. 50 years later, after he left China, it's recorded that there was 175,000 believers. Now, wait a minute. Hudson Taylor, we may know him as the great missionary, but let's not forget that his grandfather was a pastor. Let's not forget that his dad was a Methodist pastor. Let's not forget that in those days, salvation was very clear in those particular denominations. Let's not forget that there was a good heritage as his grandfather received Christ under the preaching of John Wesley. Let's not forget tonight that Hudson Taylor had parents that were godly parents, and parents, as we even gave illustration about Jonathan Edwards this morning and about his descendants, and because of the fact that he kept his kids in church and all those that came out of that godly heritage, and how God blessed Jonathan Edwards. So it was with that which was the grandfather and the father of a Hudson Taylor. Because Hudson Taylor, one day, as he had run away from his parents, at the age of 15, he said, I had enough. At the age of 15, he looked and he said, I don't care anymore about the rules. I don't care anymore about the relationship that I've got with you, Grandpa, and with you, Daddy. I'm fed up with it. And Hudson Taylor decided that he would set out on his own. But he also had a godly mama. He also had people that prayed for him. And the Bible is true unto all that call upon him. And they knew that, and they wanted their son be saved so bad. And they would pray, and they would pray. And one day Hudson Taylor hit the bottom of his run, and he decided to return home. And he went into his daddy's study, and he picked up a tract. And as he picked up the Bible tract and began to read it, the Holy Spirit of God smote his heart, and he bowed his heart and received Christ as Savior. Hey, listen, thank God he didn't keep the rope cut. Thank God that he loved his parents enough and had enough respect to his parents that even though he made a dumb mistake, even though he decided to run his own life, he did not run his own life into ruin, and he decided to return home. I'm saying you ought to thank God tonight if you've got godly parents. You say they don't know everything, preacher. We never said they did. They don't possess all wisdom, preacher. We never said they did. But preacher, they're not perfect. We never said they were. But if you've got a mom and a dad that's trying, you've got a mom and dad that's giving it their best effort, you've got a mom and dad that's coming to church, you've got a mom and dad that's praying at the altar, you've got a mom and dad that's reading their Bible, you've got a mom and dad that's encouraging you to do something for Jesus Christ instead of wasting your life, can I tell you tonight, you ought to thank God for your parents. Do not cut the rope of your parents. Don't cut the rope of authority. By the way, not just your parents as an authority, but how about the pastor? Oh yeah, I'm talking about this guy standing right up here. You know, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 27 and verse 17, the Bible says, which may go out before them. The Bible says, and which may go in before them. Listen to it now. Which may lead them out and may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord, it says, be not sheep which have no shepherd. You know what the pastor is? The pastor is a shepherd. And a shepherd, if he is right with God, cares for his sheep. He doesn't want those that's a part of the congregation to get hurt. That's why, oh, please listen to me. I beg you to listen to me tonight. That's why every preacher that's worth his salt ought to get up behind the pulpit, and yes, he ought to cry aloud and spare not. He ought to preach the word of God. He ought to sound out warnings, if you will, about, oh, you said, but preacher, sometimes you'll preach topical messages. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing tonight, by the way. It's turning into a topical message. But can I tell you, here's what's happening. Here's what's happening. A lot of preachers say they don't want to say anything about alcohol. They don't want to say anything about smoking, and they don't want to say anything about doping, and they don't want to say anything about dressing immodest, and they don't want to say anything about music, how it contaminates the soul, that's wrong music. They don't want to say anything. And can I tell you, I thank God for every preacher that breathes and every preacher that stands behind the pulpit and every preacher that preaches the Bible from the pulpit, but there has to be somebody that says, I love the sheep enough to tell them the truth. Amen. Your kid needs to hear that rock music is wrong. They need to hear that worldly dress is going to be something that's going to hurt somebody and cause somebody to trip. They need to hear that they need to love God and come to church and hear old-fashioned preaching. And by the way, it was old-fashioned preaching that changed our nation, and it's going to be old-fashioned preaching that will change our nation again. I'm saying tonight, thank God that God has given you a pastor. It might be that you have a pastor of another church. Man, don't go home and cause that guy trouble. If you're a member of another church, thank God you've got a pastor. Don't rise up and be critical. You ever think about it? He's got enough trouble without your tongue. I had a dear brother call me up just, it was last night. I was up here helping to clean up after the wedding some. Then I went to my office to pray and just to get the mind of the Lord for Sunday morning and Sunday night. All of a sudden, my phone rang at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock at night. There was a dear brother on the other end of that phone, just a weeping. He said, Pastor, he said, I need somebody to talk to. We talked for about a half hour or so. I tried to do my best to encourage. You know what I find out in our land? Here's what I found out when I was an evangelist. Preachers need encouragement. They need somebody to walk beside them and say, hey, preacher, I'm on your side. I'm going to stand there beside you. Now, I'm not necessarily asking you to do that right now for me, but I'm saying this. I'm saying if you're from another church or you're listening by way of the internet thing, can I tell you tonight that you ought to thank God that you've got a preacher that'll shoot it straight with you? You say, but it bothers me when you step on my toes. I understand. It bothers me when you sit in my lap. I understand. It's uncomfortable for me, too. You've got bony legs. But it bothers me when you spit in my face. I understand that. I do understand that. But sometimes, maybe a preacher might not know how to say it. But I submit to you tonight, it's better for a preacher to say it and not know how to say it than not say it at all. It's better for a man of God to get up and say, yeah, this is what the Bible says. Yeah, let's go ahead and obey what the book says. Hey, I would rather go to a church that's got more standards. I'd rather go to a church that loves God more. I'd rather go to a church that has greater soul winning than to go to some dead, dried up, liberal, stinking church. You need to have some place that you can go that would challenge you. You know, let somebody stretch you a little bit. There's nothing wrong with a preacher, I submit to you. There's nothing wrong with a preacher tonight encouraging you to read your Bible more. There's nothing wrong with a preacher tonight encouraging you to live more holy. Now, I'd be in trouble tonight if I said, now, looky here, after church, let's all go down to the casino and learn to twist and dish and dash and whatever they do. Hello, most of you throw your hip out of place and you wouldn't ever come back. But that'd be wrong. Come on now. You might not like my preaching and my straightforwardness all the time. But it'd be far better to have a guy that's going to get up here, that's going to shoot it straight, than to sugarcoat it so much that what you left, you just said, well, I'll tell you what, I could have got that at the Methodist church. I don't want that. Now, you might not agree with everything I say, but dear Lord, may he work in your heart to at least give me the grace to say it. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying don't cut the ropes of authority. Your parents, your pastor, let God work in your life. There was a fellow by the name of John Witherspoon. John Witherspoon was one of the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence. He came from Scotland. When he came from Scotland, he became, of course, an American citizen. And after that, he became the president of a college in New Jersey. The college in New Jersey was called Princeton University. He decided that he was going to take his influence. He decided that he was not going to compromise his Bible belief or his Bible stand just because he was in a university. So he took control of that which was the morals. He began to teach philosophy. He began to use his influence to emphasize Christian foundational principles. It was under Witherspoon that three of those that graduated became Supreme Court justices. It was under him that 57 of those graduates became senators or congressmen. 10 of them entered into cabinet official positions. One became a vice president. Yes, even one became a president. And here's what they said. We never forgot what he taught us. Boy, I pray to God that one day the Bible will be welcomed back into our public schools.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm excited. I think a couple of Tuesdays from now, the mayor and I and also the administrator of the public schools for the city of Mesquite will be sitting down, and we're going to be talking about putting Bible curriculum into the city schools of Mesquite.
Amen.
Now, I tell you what, I'm excited about that.
Amen.
I don't know if it'll happen or not, but at least I'm going to put my best foot forward to see if we can get it in.
Amen.
Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying it is very, very important for us to be able to understand that if God has given you a pastor, oh, he may not say every word right, and he may get a little bit excited when he preaches, and he may spit on you, and he may tell a joke that's not funny, but at least you got somebody who's going to pray for you.
Amen.
And at least you got somebody who's going to love you. And at least you got somebody that is going to go to God for you and say, dear God, bless this dear family and help this dear family and work in the life of this dear family. I'm saying, listen, if you have a pastor tonight, whether it be here or whether it be somewhere else, you ought to thank God for your preacher.
Amen.
I'm saying, look, don't cut the ropes of authority. There's your parents. There's your pastor. By the way, there's some godly peers. God has given you some godly peers. I'm talking about young people at your age. I'm talking about college students. That's your age. I'm talking about older people. We'll not go any further than that. But that's your age. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 10. The Bible says, it says, for better is a neighbor that is nearer than a brother afar off. Now, can I tell you tonight, you ought to thank God that you have people that's around you that will give you good, godly advice. Now, stay with me now, but make sure that it's good, godly advice. Here's what I find some of our young people doing. Some of our young people want to go and do something wrong, and instead of getting around somebody that's more spiritual than they are as a peer, they'll find somebody else to go in cahoots with them so that now they feel good doing their wrong. Why don't you decide, instead of doing that, find somebody that is a peer that is more spiritual than you. Find somebody that is doing a better job in giving out the gospel than you. Find somebody that you see that goes to the altar more than you. Look, it's easy for dead wood to float downstream. But just because dead wood is floating downstream, that doesn't mean you need to join them. Anybody can bow and anybody can bend. But can I tell you tonight, there needs to be some Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednegoes among our young people that says, I don't care if I have to go into the burning fiery furnace myself, I'm willing to go. And you step in and you go. And by the way, when you're in the fire, Jesus always shows up. He'll help you every single step of the way that you need help if you just decide that you're going to do what is right, even though sometimes it seems just a little bit lonely and a whole lot heated. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you that sometimes living for Jesus is lonely? But can I also tell you that it has great influence? Why do we waste our time giving weak influence? What a waste. Why do we waste our time tonight trying to become somebody? Why do we waste our time getting hung up in pride like, wow, look at me. I mean, the cool guys have the strut, you know, and they strut around. And they got the walk. And then they start to talk cool. Hey, baby, how are you? What's up? Hey, let's go chill. You know, and they've got, but here's what they're doing. They're copying the talk of Hollywood. They're copying the street talk. You say, but you don't understand where I came from. Hey, Bubba, you don't understand where I came from, but if I can clean my act up by way of the Holy Ghost, so can you. Amen. Well, you don't understand, preacher. That's the only jokes I know. Well, you don't have to tell them.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
But you don't understand, preacher. That's just the way I was brought up. That's a lame brain excuse. Amen. My daddy drank. That doesn't mean I'm going to drink. Amen. My parents smoked. That don't mean I'm going to smoke. Amen. Hello? Well, you know, and people use this all the time, don't they? Here's what they say. You know, people have tempers. Many times they'll say this. Well, you just don't understand, preacher. The reason I have a temper is because I'm Irish. Or they'll say, well, I'm from Chicago. By the way, most people from Chicago don't know what type of coffee to drink. Don't let them ruin you. But honestly, here's what we do. We use all those excuses. Well, it's just because my parents didn't train me. So what? Can't you learn on your own? I remember when I was in Bible college. I knew nothing. I tell you, I just did not know a thing. And I mean, saying curse words in my family was second nature. I mean, it's just that's how I grew up. I didn't know there were bad words. I just did not know there were bad words. And so when I went to Bible college, I didn't know that my talk was not like their talk. I thought everybody talked like me. So I get mad, and I just, right in Bible college, I get mad about something, I'd spit out a curse word just right there. You should have seen the looks I got. But they just stared at me. Their eyes got big, their jaws jacked open. They turned pale, but nobody would say nothing to me. They just kind of walk away. And I thought, okay, you don't want to talk to me? That's fine. I'll find other friends. And man, all of a sudden, I just start talking common talk, not mad, not upset about nothing. I'd get laughing or something. I'd just say a curse word. People's face turned pale. I mean, I'm telling you, eyes would get big. They just walked away. But nobody told me that the curse words were wrong. I just thought they were common words. Nobody told me anything. All I know is people were walking away from me. That's all I knew. So I would walk after them. When I would walk after them, they would walk faster. So you got people walking around the college like this. I mean, it's ridiculous. One day they asked me to run a buffer. I ran the buffer. Now, nobody ever taught me how to run a buffer, and I thought, he said, you know how to run a buffer? Sure. Sure. How hard could that be? So I grabbed the buffer, I pulled it where it went on, started to go that way. I said, So I tried to muscle it back over, and when I did, it would jerk back over. The buffer was winning. It hit a filing cabinet. Ooh. Did I say big, loud words? And all of a sudden, the short little English teacher came running out. Short little guy. He come running out. You shouldn't say that! I can't believe you said that in Bible college! Don't you know better than that? Said, sir, what did I say? I can't tell you! But it was wrong! And I'm thinking, well, how do I know what I said? If you don't tell me what I said, and what I said was wrong. He said, don't you ever say it again. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I went back to the buffer. Started running the buffer. And I'm not letting you get away from me now. So I put all the muscle that I had in that thing. Those things rebel. So I put all the muscle I had in that thing, and when I did it, jerked back, and boy, did it put a dent in the side of that file cabinet. Here comes a short little English teacher out. That's it! That's it! Face turning red, head buckled down on the shoulders. I mean, I'm talking about smoke coming out of the nose. And that's it! That's it! I said, what is it, sir? He said, don't you ever say it. I said, look, if you can't say it, write it on a piece of paper. Well, I'm not going to do that. I won't make you sign it. Just write it. Tell me what I said is wrong. Okay, now wait a minute. Can I tell you? Listen, what was happening was that here was a man that had a burden for me, but he didn't know how to help me. Stay with me. Most of your teenage friends, even when you're doing wrong, they have a burden for you. But they don't know how to help you. See, that's why you go to somebody else that's older and wiser. Because even though they know that what you're doing is wrong, they don't know how to help you straighten it out. They love you. They don't want to break the friendship. But they just don't know. So what do you do? By the way, it kind of reminds me of Rehoboam, doesn't it, you? I mean, here it was. Daddy did all that work. Daddy had all the money and all the stuff to save up, to be able to take care of this task here. All of a sudden, Daddy dies and Rehoboam shows up and Rehoboam says, well, I tell you what, I just want to make sure I'm doing right. And so he listens to the old men that was Daddy's counselors and he listens to the young men. And now he takes the advice of the young men. And because of the advice of the young men, the kingdom splits. Simply because he listened to the young men. Now, it's not saying that the young people in this room are ignorant. It's not saying that you're not wise. It is saying there is people that are more wiser than you. You know, when I have to make financial decisions, I'm not going to go to somebody that doesn't know what they're doing and have never known what they're doing. Amen. Stay with me. When I have to make pastoral decisions, I do not call men that are younger than me. I don't. I'll call men that's been pastoring longer than I have been. I'll call men that has been through the battle and they've got the battle scars. I'll ask them advice. Why? Because they've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. All right? Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, understand, don't cut the ropes. Statement number one, I said this. Do not cut the ropes of the authorities. Don't cut the ropes of your parents. Don't cut the ropes of your pastor. Do not cut the ropes of those that are godly peers that's pointing you to other people that can help you to make right decisions in your life. Let me give you two more statements and I'll get ready to close it down. My two more statements will be about 20 minutes. Statement number one, don't cut the rope of authority. Statement number two, don't cut the rope of experience. When you have somebody that comes to you and they have more experience than you do, don't just walk away from it. You know, we have several men that we've hired here to assist me and being able to be a blessing, stay with me now, and serve you and others. That's their purpose. We have not hired anybody to come here and be a Superman. We have hired people and we have taken great time and effort and prayerfully considering anybody that we will bring into this precious organization that's called Parkside Baptist Church and Ministries. Now, because of that, sometimes I'll hire somebody that has more experience than I do. Say, preacher, how do you feel about that? I am so happy. You see, because a long time ago, I became sure in my calling. And when you're sure in your calling, all you want to do is help other people by allowing God to use your calling to help somebody else. We have people here that know English better than I do. Now, by my speech, you would never know that. But I brought them on board simply because I want high quality in the areas of education among our young people. We have people that know perhaps the Old Testament better than I do. Or maybe parts of the New Testament better than I do. But why do you bring them in, preacher? I'll tell you why I bring them in. Simply because I'm more concerned about you and your well-being than I am about me. I want you to have the best. I want people to come here that will encourage and help and love. And somebody asked me the other day, well, man, if somebody does something real nice to one of the guys that works for you, how do you feel about that? I said, I'll tell you exactly how I feel about that. Boy, I praise God for every single thing that's done for these guys and these gals. You know why? Because I believe that they deserve the best. I'm saying Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31, the Bible says this. The Bible says that the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. So he said, those that hear the reproofs. Now, wait a minute. What is that? That is life experiences. You know, sometimes you will have a life experience. Many years ago, there was a man by the name of Thomas Watson Sr. He established the International Business Manufacturing Company that dealt with data, the processing of data. Matter of fact, his one word that described his industry, which you will see in many IBM type of buildings, you'll see this imprint, it's called think. Think. He's the one that just said think. One day, all of a sudden, and by the way, he had an enormous sum of money. I'm talking about billions and billions of dollars that was at his fingertips. But one day, there was a man back in 1940, and this man made a tragic mistake. He worked for IBM, and he came into Mr. Watson's office, and he said, you know, he's all nervous, and he's wringing his hands. He said, I know you're going to fire me. He said, you're just going to kick me out of here, and I deserve it. He said, because today, he said, Mr. Watson, he said, I made a $1 million mistake. Mr. Watson went over all the paperwork, saw the transaction. realized the man made a $1 million mistake. He said, I can't fire you. He said, I can't afford to fire you. Because he said that $1 million lesson that you learned, I can't afford to teach somebody else again. That's pretty good. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying we understand tonight that there's some ropes we ought not to cut. Don't cut the rope of authority. Don't cut the rope of experience. Let me give you the last one tonight. Don't cut the rope of godly preaching. For some reason, churches have become entertainment centers. For some reason, you go to church nowadays and you got the praise and worship bands and they're turning down the lights and they're jiving across the platform. Now, can I tell you, and I'm just being straight out forward and honest, under this administration, that will not happen here. I believe that singing ought to be right. I believe that the teaching ought to be right. And don't you tell me, friend, by preaching right and doing right that God's not going to build a church. I'm saying tonight, God can build a church. Keep the music right. Keep the standards right. Keep the preaching right. Let God be God. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the Bible says, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Can I tell you, I really believe that what our churches, yea, what our country is lacking is good, old-fashioned, clean, straightforward Bible preaching. I believe there's a great dearth. I believe that we've been influenced by the non-denominational crowds. I believe we've been influenced by the Southern Baptist crowds. I believe we've been influenced by the neo crowds. And what's happening is now you see guys that, you know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, preacher, do you really think that we ought to dress up when you come to church? I think you ought to dress your best. You say, where do you get that from? Show me a chapter and verse. Can't do it. But I promise you, if I showed up in front of President Trump, I'm going to dress up because I respect the position of the man. Amen. Stay with me now. Stay with me. Stay with me. When I make business appointments to go and visit with different business people, I dress up because I respect them. I visited a Bible college not too long ago, and the Bible college has changed. It's been changed for many years. It was my alma mater. And so I visited the Bible college, and this is a couple years ago, and I walked into the pastor's office, and they've since changed so bad. But I walked into the pastor's office and I dressed up. It was a Saturday morning and I dressed up because I was going to go and stand before a man of God. You know, I respected the guy. I went walking into my Bible college president's office and the first thing he said, as he had his little polo shirt on and his curly hair, he said this. He said, well, I can tell you graduated under the former president. Not me. I said, well, I just wanted to come by and say howdy, that's all. But he shot me down just as soon as I walked in. Yeah. Now, I'm sorry, but I love Jesus enough that I think church is important. Yeah. Yes, sir. I think people ask me all the time, they say, well, why is it that people at Parkside, they kind of dress different? I said, well, it might be because they have a different relationship. Yeah. That's my answer. You know, I mean, if you're going to go to a fancy restaurant, you go and dress up. Is a fancy restaurant more important than your God? I mean, it's just my answer. You know? See, maybe I'm living in the olden days. I don't know. Maybe I'm dreaming. I'm not sure yet. But if I am, please let me alone. Let me dream. You say, well, man, you preach and you act like it's the 1940s or 1930s or Well, I tell you what, can I be perfectly honest with you? Those days are a whole lot better than some of the days I'm seeing right now. At least back then, a guy that was born a guy knew he was a guy. Yeah. Back then, we weren't fighting about, well, should they use the ladies' room or should they use the men's room? It really just depends on what they believe they are at the time. Come on. Wake up one day and you believe you're a boy and use the boys' room. Wake up the next day, believe you're a girl and use the girls' room. That don't make a lick of sense to me. Now, I'm sorry, but I've got a little bit of common sense. I wish people in Washington would have a little bit of common sense. But I'm saying tonight, listen to me and listen to me well. If you don't teach the right things to your children, you can't rely on a government school. You send that kid to a public school and you say, oh, but they're strong enough, they can take it. Yeah, and they're 5. And they're 6. They're 16. They're 17. You're still telling them to brush their teeth. You're still telling them to make their bed. And you think they're going to stand up against an ungodly professor? An ungodly school teacher? And take their stand? What? No! By the way, that's why people need church. You know what? Looky here. You might not agree with everything I preach, but can I tell you, you like the way I preach it. Because if you were up here, you'd be doing the same thing. Some of you little girls, you'd be up here, I'll tell you what the Bible says. Here we go, I'm done. You ready? Here we go. Brother Jonathan, help me. Got it? Brother Palmore, here we go. Here we go. You got it? Here we go. Okay, Kenny, right here. Stay there. You two older guys. Put me one right there. One right over here. Here we go, watch. All of a sudden now the tempest is blowing. It's blowing. By the way, in America, the winds are blowing. There's Christians all over that are saying, oh, we can't make it. Oh, what are we gonna do? You do the same thing you've always done. Yeah. Hello. Tempest is blowing. Wind is blowing. Stand right over here. Wind is blowing. Tempest is blowing. And all of a sudden, these men, excellent fishermen, by far professional, they come running. Oh, we're going to perish. We're going to wish for the day. Take their last wish. We're all going to die. Take their last wish. Wish for the day. And all of a sudden, Paul stands up. I don't know if he shouted. I don't know if he preached. I don't know if he, I think he had to get a little bit loud because those winds are blowing, you know. So common sense tells me he got a little bit loud. So what did he do? He said, now wait a minute. Don't abandon the ship. Stay in the ship. Just stay right where you are. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't compromise. Don't throw it in. Don't give up. Don't decide that it's not worth it. That's what he did. And so these boats out here had ropes attached to them. Had ropes attached to them. What did these soldiers do? By their own accord, by their own deliverance, by their own desire, they go and they cut the rope. When they cut the rope, that boat just kind of goes out into the ocean, just floating away. You're not getting that boat back. Could that be the rope of authority tonight? Could that be what you're doing to your parents tonight? Could that be what you're doing to your preacher tonight? Could that be what you're doing with your peers tonight? Could it be? Could it be? See, you come to a church long enough, I don't care where you go, dear friend, you listen to me, you're going to get your feelings hurt. You are. You go to a Methodist church, you're going to get your feelings hurt. You go to Episcopalian church, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Somebody's going to say something that's going to rub you the wrong way. Come back and pick it up. So let's go in order. Then all of a sudden you see this. Here's the boat right there, ready to salvage, ready to help, ready to encourage, ready to take you all the way to the shore on dryness. But no, somebody gets the bright idea. I don't like that parent. I don't like that preacher. I don't like those peers that are godly. Forget it. And they cut the rope, Kenny. And they just float on out. Yeah. Just go away. Have a seat. Then all of a sudden, somebody else comes along and says, hey, look, man, I tell you, I might not be the wisest guy in all the world, but I got some experience. I might not be the sharpest cookie on the shelf, but I've got some experience. You say, well, my daddy, he's never been to college, but he's got more wisdom than you've got. But my mama, she just doesn't know. She knows a whole lot more than you do, son. But you get all cocky and you get all arrogant about 16, 17 years of age. Well, I'm just not going to obey them. I mean, after all, I've got my own life. And here's what you do. You cut the rope of experience. Many times when you cut those ropes, it's a point of no return. Now, by the way, it can be a point of return if you get it quick. Wait a minute. Then all of a sudden, here comes that which is not just necessarily the rope of authority. Not necessarily the rope of experience, but, you know, there's the rope of preaching. You know, some people come to church, let me tell you, they don't come to church for preaching. They come to church for prestige. They come to church because of persons. That's why they come to church. You know, I mean, they come to church because they want peace in the home. That's why they come to church. You know, I mean, they don't want people to think bad of them. So they show up. Well, thank God you show up. Hope you get something while you're here. But now, wait a minute, watch this. But here's what they do. They cut the rope of preaching. Well, that just doesn't make sense to me. That just bothers me. That rubs me the wrong way. Billy Sunday used to say, if it rubs you the wrong way, turn around the cat. You'll get that by and by. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we need. We need parents. If we could do this in reverse, Kenny. We need parents. Pastors and peers. No. We need parents, pastors, and peers to throw the rope. To throw the rope. And we need those out there to catch it.
Right.
Amen. This ain't going to happen. Come here. Would you please take the rope? It's not going to happen that way. You're going to have a preacher that says, you say, well, I don't like my parents. My parents, they hurt my feelings. They just hurt my feelings. They're trying to save your hide. They might not have all the tact. They might not have all the insight. They might not have all the wisdom. But give them a break. They don't want you to ruin your life. I'm saying this tonight. Whoever was here, come here. So what happens? You can do it. What happens? All of a sudden, now there's that experience. Oh, it might be from a grandpa. It might be from a grandma. It might be from somebody that you just met. They got experience. And so what happened? They might not have the tack. You know, they may chew you out. You say, well, I deserve better than that. No. You deserve hell. If you got what you deserved and I got what I deserved, we'd both be there tonight. And anything above that is a blessing. So what do they do? Oh, God brings somebody in your life that's your sandpaper. Like that little runt of a college English teacher. Come out. Sometimes it's that experience. They throw you the rope. Wait a minute. Where's the other guy? Then there's Bible preaching. Now I'm going to tell you something. I might not say all my words correct. And I know because some of you tell me. You do. You're my good educators. You come up to me, I'll preach a message, man. I'll be sweating bullets. I'm giving it everything I got. Some dear old saint will stop me out in the lobby and say, just want to let you know, preacher, you mispronounced that word. And I'll say, oh, thank you so much. Write that down and I'll study on it. And I do. I look at it, tear it up, throw it away. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I do want to get better. I really do want to get better. But until I do, I'd rather spend time with God and let God use me a little bit. And it doesn't really matter how it comes out if I'm just yielded a little bit. Hello. I mean, I pray often, dear God, I know I'm not everything I should be. And I know that probably I'm not all that it could be. But God, I'm giving you everything I've got. So God, if you'll just use me a little bit, I'd appreciate it. Now I'm saying this, preaching. Look, if you're going to get backslidden and go to a liberal church where they don't have a preacher, do yourself a favor and do me a favor. Don't tell them you came from Parkside. If you're going to backslide and go to some other liberal outfit, don't transfer your membership. Use that statement thing. You know, don't say, well, I'm transferring from Parkside Baptist Church. Because probably the preacher's even going to look at you and say, why'd you come here? We be not like they are. Now, I'm saying this. Okay, here we go. We got to quit. So there's preaching. And by the way, sometimes preaching's in the face. It is. Sometimes a preacher will walk the aisle. You know, when I first came here, I started standing on pews. And I had a dear brother look up at me and said, I can't believe you stood on the pew. I said, that bother you? I stood there. He said, yeah. I said, I'll move down. I don't want to be offensive. But let the preacher be the preacher. Let the preacher have his own personality. Man, I pass out tracts everywhere I go. If I embarrass you, I'm sorry. I love young people. I pull young people in my office and I'll cry with them. And boy, if I embarrass you because of that, I'm sorry. I'll rear back and preach sometimes. And some of you like preaching. Some of you like teaching. And some of you like other stuff. But look, give me a break. Let me be the man that God created me to be. By the way, that's what we're trying to train these boys about. We want God to use them in whatever aspect God wants to use them, whether in a law firm office, a dentist office, whether it's a doctor's office, or whether it's on a mission field somewhere in the Congo. We just want to be used of God. Just find the will of God and do it. But we do want them to do the best they can for Jesus. We do want that. I'm saying, and sometimes there's that which is preaching. Now look, you got all these ropes. Come together, fellas. Come together over here. Just right here. Come on over here, Brother Jonathan. There you go. Give all those to Palmore. Watch this. You got all this stuff that's right there that's being thrown out to you. Give all those to Kenny. Kenny, you're the oldest one. You got all those ropes being thrown out to you. Every single one of them is yours. God is sending them to you. You know why? He's not mad at you. Amen. He loves you. Amen. He may be using your parent. He may be using the preacher. He may be using a peer. He may be using an experience. He may be using preaching. But they're all coming from the Lord. Amen. And the more ropes you have holding you, the better off you'll be.
Amen.
Don't get mad at it. Don't get upset about it. You listen to me, especially young people. We're on your side.
Amen.
We're trying to help you. Young person goes into sin. I cry like a little baby. It's not because I'm mad at you. It's just because I love you.
Amen.
I'll try to preach to you and teach you Bible truth. Just because your parents do the same thing. Godly peers do the same thing. Don't cut the rope.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.